is happening, everybody? I'm Larry Roberts.
And I'm Sarah Losey. And this is Branded, your comprehensive guide to creative branding.
And on this amazing episode of the podcast, we're going to kind of dial it back a little bit and get back to branding basics.
You went like musical there.
Did I?
Yeah. That was like, ooh, we're getting rhythmic.
You can tell I just go into a zone because I don't even know what I did. Honestly, I'm walking back to even know what you're talking about because I have no idea.
You'll figure it out in editing.
Yeah. Like, oh, I did that. Well,
dude. Well, speaking of branding basics,
yeah.
We were just at eWomen Network Speakonomics and you did a presentation on building your brand or finding your red hat. And it was really impactful. It was a really great presentation. And let's kind of use some of that to talk about that today.
I mean, I think that'd be great. I think that some of the questions that we'll talk about that I presented are applicable to everybody. And it gives you a nice opportunity to start having that brand conversation and kind of digging into what is the root of your red hat or what is the root of your branded brand. And it can be a challenge sometimes figuring this out and answering these questions. And, you know, in my case, especially, while I constantly ask these questions that we're going to go over, they didn't necessarily lead me to the red hat. But at the same time, we start getting into the discussion of, is the red hat my brand or is the red hat just my brand identifier? And I think it's more of option B there. And these questions are not necessarily designed for you to identify your visual representation of your brand, but the more in-depth brand values that represent what is underneath, at least in my case, what is underneath the red hat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think this is a really great way to build that foundation of your brand values, your vision, your mission statement. And just get a better idea of what it is that you're trying to do. When you try to become a personal brand, why? Like, what is your goal? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to put into the world? Why are you trying to put yourself and your message into the world? So going through questions and really figuring out those answers is going to help you create your list of goals, your list of values, mission, vision, all of that.
Exactly. And I think it might have been beneficial for us to kind of go over these questions together before we started recording the episode. But then at the same time, maybe
we're very unprepared.
it's not so much that we're unprepared. It's just that some of these questions, they take time. You know, you need to put some thought and you need to put time into figuring out these answers.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do here on this episode is I think we just need to just give the answers that come to mind just right off the top, you know, just right off the tip of our tongue there.
So we're going to go through the questions that you can ask yourself while you're building your brand, and we'll give our answers and kind of how they help shape our brand. But while we're doing this, like if you're listening at home, grab a notebook and write down your thoughts, answer these questions for yourself, and just really think about how you would not only how you would answer these, but how those answers can play into what you're trying to build as a brand.
Yeah. And again, I want to stress the fact that these questions aren't necessarily going to identify your red hat per se, but it's the values that are underneath that hat. And it's the way that you conduct your business. It's the way that you engage with your clients. It's the way that you do your day-to-day business. That's what these questions are designed to uncover. So keep that in mind as you go through the exercise and not go, well, I guess I could have a blue blazer or that's not what you're for. That's not what's going to make you stand out in a crowd, but it's going to make you stand out from an engagement perspective, from a client perspective, from a respect perspective. So keep that in mind for the exercise.
We'll get into these now, but anything that we're saying about your brand promise, your brand identifiers, all of that isn't something that sounds familiar, jump back to one of our early episodes and we talked about the 8 components of a brand. So go pause this, go back, listen to that episode, and then come back and do this exercise once you have a better understanding of what we're talking about.
Cool.
So all right, let's get started.
Now, now that you're back.
Welcome back. We missed you.
Let's get it going, man. So these questions were somewhat in the middle of my presentation that I did there in Colorado. The very first question, what three words best describe you?
So when you asked us at the event, I had said creative, authentic, and unapologetic.
I could have swore you told me it was way too young.
That is what I said for the next question, thanks to the lovely woman at our table who questioned me being able to teach her anything due to my age. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, my God. We're calling them out. We're dropping names on this episode, y'all. We're getting
hey, she made her bed and night.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, maybe I shouldn't open up that can of worms, but I did. Well, so
can't put that one back in.
Let's see. What three words best describe me? Wow. Loud. Definitely loud.
Yes, I agree.
Attention seeking. And I don't know if this a therapy session.
This turned negative really fast.
No. I love attention. There's no if. Why would I wear even on this episode, I'm wearing a bright red pullover and a red hat.
His ketchup bottle outfit.
See, this isn't now a therapy session. It's my ketchup bottle outfit. Why do I enjoy dressing like a ketchup bottle? I don't know. The last
as
word.
A child, you weren't allowed condiments.
So what did I say? Loud,
attention-seeking.
Yeah, attention-seeking. And man, see, it just stumps me. Value-driven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only support that one of the three. I think you.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Loud or attention-seeking?
I mean, I agree with them, yeah. But if like you're thinking of like what three words best describe me, like I would have gone a little more positive for you.
Well, I think but positive because I love to be heard.
Okay. If we're gonna spin it that way.
Yeah. No, that's all positive. I mean, I'm not laying on the couch right now, so. But I mean, honestly, what else would it be? A funny.
Well, I can't answer it for you until the next
extremely
question.
Extremely good looking.
Yes. Iconic.
Excellent personality. Yeah, iconic. Think of Beyonce and just use the same word for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Of course. So think of the three words that best describe you. Jot those down in your notebook. And let's move on to question number two.
So this one is, what three words would others use to describe you? And I think it would be fun. Let's give what we think, but then also we're here. Let's give what we actually would describe each other as.
Oh, that's interesting. And because it's very difficult for me to look at it from an unbiased perspective because I know you.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to know what's that external perspective that others see when they meet you that don't know you. So now that I know you, I don't know that those values or those perceptions are in alignment.
So this is an interesting question because when I was trying to pick my brand name, this was one of the exercises that I had found on a list of ways you can like come up with a great brand name. One of the things was to like text people in your life and ask them how they would describe you. And so this can actually, if you guys are trying to come up with what a brand name could be, this could be helpful. It ended up not being super helpful for me. It was really nice to hear like what people said about me because they all were positive, but it was an interesting exercise. If this is something you guys are trying to do, come up with that name, ask people what they would say about you. So Larry, what are three words you would use to describe me?
First and foremost, creative.
I said that one.
Oh, you said creative?
I said creative, authentic, and unapologetic.
Oh, well, see, I would still say it regardless because I go to whenever I'm struggling with creativity? I go straight to you. I go, hey, man, even this morning, I was like, I have got to get this video put together, but I am stumped. Yeah. And I go running straight to you. So
okay, I'll take it.
I would say creative / resourceful. I don't know. Maybe we can interchange those. Next, I would say driven because you are driven. Had someone ask me just the other day why you and I are partnered together. And I go, man, she handles her business. It is unbelievable. So driven would be the next one.
Okay.
And while this is a little counterintuitive, because I know you, I would still say confident. I would say confident. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a stumper there. But on the outside, looking in, I would say confident. So those would probably be my three big ones.
All right. I'll take it. Let's see. For you, intelligent. I feel like you don't always try to lead with that, but you are one of the smartest people that I know.
Interesting.
Also creative. I would definitely say creative. And giving. You are one of those people who just, you don't say no to anybody and you just want to do everything for everybody. So giving, for sure.
That one gets me in trouble, though.
So. It does. It does.
That's fun. And it might be fun for you listening right now to do this exercise with somebody as well.
Honestly, it just gives you a little mood boost. Nothing else.
Yeah, you're not going to sit here and say bad things about each other. So if you're kicking rocks right now, call up your best good pal and go through this exercise together. That should be a lot of fun.
Now, what is, because you came up with these questions. So what was the purpose of like those two questions?
So that you get a better understanding of the balance between how you perceive yourself and how others perceive yourself. So it gives you that insight as to whether or not you are living up to your own individual expectations. So that lets you know that, well, if I'm trying to establish a brand, not a brand identifier or a logo, but a brand, where is that brand potentially lacking? What values do I need to address? What messaging do I need to change to make sure that how I perceive myself and the brand that I'm trying to present, that I'm presenting it the way that I think I am? Did that make sense? I think I confused myself there. You said I was intelligent, but I think I got lost on that. But my whole point is to make sure that your brand is being perceived the same way you perceive it. So,
see, that reminds me of a conversation we had. I think it was actually in that 8 components of a brand episode that we were talking about how there are certain aspects of your brand that you can't be in control of. And so the way that people perceive you is something that can be out of your control. I remember the example that I gave was something that it left you kind of speechless, which is not easy to do, but because you believe that you should always be in control of your brand at all times, but your brand experience, so the way that others interact with your brand, the way that others feel about your brand, that isn't something you can always control, because sometimes your brand is not like physically attached to you.
Right.
So we were talking about it in terms of like a U-Haul truck. And if someone rented a U-Haul truck and then rear-ended you while you were driving, you would have like a negative experience tied to U-Haul, even though the person driving the car doesn't work for U-Haul. It had nothing to do with U-Haul. It was not their fault, but that was something that you experienced connected to that brand. So that's going to color your opinion of them. So having that conversation with others and getting their input on what it's like, I would even, if you're going to do this from a branding perspective, don't ask your parents, don't ask your best friend, ask coworkers or ask like employers, managers, ask people from your professional life, because they're going to see more of that brand experience from you versus just, like you had said before, you know me. So you know me from like a personal standpoint, but the answers can be different based on what part of someone's personality you spend the most time around. All right, next question.
Next question. What are you most passionate about?
Okay, who you first?
Well, I just asked the question, so I don't know that it's fair that I go first, but I will. I'd have to say that what I'm most passionate about is content creation and creativity as a whole, creativity as a career. I've always been super passionate about creativity. I'm sure I've mentioned this on the podcast, but if we go all the way in the way, way back machine to high school, even my senior ring on one side was business, on the other side was art. Yes.
Every time you say that, I picture your class ring wearing a mullet. Every time. Business in the front, art in the back. Art in the
back. That's too funny. But yeah, I guess it could be the mullet of class rings. I mean, I'm sure it is today. And here's, you want to know something funny about my class ring? Okay. So, and this is hilarious. And Holly, I doubt you're listening, but I mean, we're still friends on Facebook, so maybe you are. But this goes out to Holly. because we got our class rings and my initials are what?
LNR.
LR, right? So I'm showing Holly my ring and it's got my initials on it.
And oh, she is it like left and right?
She goes, why has it got left and right on it?
So you don't put it on backwards.
Exactly. So yeah, man, I still love you, Holly. You're great, but I'll never forget that one, man. It's too funny. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's creativity and yeah. art and content creation, just creating anything, any opportunity to create, whether you look over to my right here and I've got my Lego table where I put all my Legos together because I've created these models, or whether it's creating the book that's behind me, or whether it's creating this podcast. Just creating is what I'm most passionate about.
I love that. So I would say for me, it's kind of spreading positivity. I really am passionate about just bringing more kindness into the world, which the way that I show like love and affection to people in my life is through gentle bullying. So like, you can't always tell that this is something I'm passionate about. But in general,
man, for real,
are you sure? Not one of the words you'd use to describe me. But in general, I really am passionate about kindness and positivity. And this is something that I was thinking about when I was building my brand, because if you look at my mission and vision statement, the mission of my company is to grow the messages of businesses that are mission driven, that are doing something good, and only focus on messages of positivity. So if you look at my client roster, if you look at the brands that I work with, everyone that I work with has a positive message. If I don't agree with or support your message, I won't work with you. Because if what I'm doing is spreading that and raising the volume on that message, I need it to be something that I can stand behind and that I feel is having a positive impact.
No, we've had this discussion more than once.
And we've had it as a fight more than once.
We might have even had a little tiff from time to time. So while I have the utmost respect for your stance, maybe I don't quite follow it as closely as you do. But no, you are very passionate about that. So this isn't something that she's just saying for the sake of this episode. It's definitely.
He has seen me turn down money.
I have, and I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Well, what? Why not? But yeah, it's super passionate about that.
Yeah, this is a question that you can definitely use to figure out what your mission is, what your vision is, while you're building that brand.
And that kind of leads us into the next question: What values are most important to you?
Yeah, this is a similar question. I guess the way that I answered the last one, it's very similar. I value positivity. I value kindness. I value creativity. And the fact that I've been able to build a brand that lets me use creativity to pursue those passions has been just an amazing experience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool. Did you say my turn?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think mine is personal responsibility. Yeah, accountability is huge to me. So if something happens, for instance, if I'm working with a client and maybe I've got someone on the team that did some of the work and didn't quite do it to the level the client was expecting, that's on me. You know, I think personal responsibility is one of the biggest values that I have that drives me forward each day. I typically have my Jocko Willink book sitting next to me, but it's all about you, man. You're carrying, you know, you're carrying the weight of the company. You're carrying your brand out front, and everything relies on you. So accountability is big for me. Other values are providing excellent service, providing an excellent experience. And I say service, that sounds so cheesy, but just the entire experience of working with a client, or providing a value, or providing a service, or providing a talk, or coaching, or consulting, whatever it may be. I want that experience to be above and beyond anything that a client has experienced before. And I don't want it to just be transactional. The experience means that we're building a relationship, that we're working together and going forward, that ideally I can now add you to my list of best good pals, because I mean, that's my goal, is to build relationships with clients and provide that experience that they've never experienced before.
Yeah, I love that. That's something that you and I agree on. And I think that kind of goes into what, when someone's building a brand, that brand experience and what they want that brand experience to be. So for me, I want my meetings with my clients to feel like grabbing coffee with friends. It just happens to be really productive. And that really is what it feels like. I want it to be like we're hanging out, we make jokes, we catch up on what's going on in each other's lives, but we also get work done and we get really great work done. But it also, you made me think of when it comes to things that we value, one of the things is definitely quality, but to the point that it's been a challenge, because sometimes our favorite things, like the best ideas we come up with, the clients don't necessarily always love.
Right.
And they end up going with an idea that was like our like third or fourth choice, or the ones that it's like, okay, well, we said we'd give them this many options, so let's throw something else together. And the ones that we're super excited about that we think are the best options, they don't choose. And it is hard.
It's super hard. And it's,
yes.
We're working on one this morning. We're,
yes.
They picked that one? Really? And I, like, oh, okay.
And it's so funny because it also, I mean, it is, we, the client is always right. Like, this is your brand. This is what, like, this is going to represent you. But at the same time, we use this kind of stuff in our portfolios and our marketing. And there's been times where we're like, do we want to include this one? Like, yes, we did it, but it's not our favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah. And I mean, I come from the advertising world, and I remember this was a constant conversation when you work in advertising, because it is always has to be the client. And if the client says no, then it's no. And there's so many times where you come up with great ideas and you give them several options and they end up just taking pieces of each. We call it Frankensteining.
Yeah.
So they'll Frankenstein a concept that it started off as an amazing idea, and by the time the client is finished with it, it is absolute garbage. And we still have to put it out. And we would just be looking at these things like, we are so embarrassed, but the client thinks it's the most amazing thing in the world. And that is so hard to deal with. That was one of my biggest challenges when I worked in advertising. Yeah. And it was why I was so happy I was not client facing for the most part. Like, I wasn't the account manager, I was the copywriter. So I was just the one helping with the ideas. I didn't have to present them.
Yeah, you were just the copywriter.
But now I have to present them. I'm still figuring out how to do that in a way that's not like, no, you're wrong.
Well, and for one, I'm disappointed you didn't activate on my trigger there with just the copywriter. So thanks for letting me just leave me hanging there. But for two, I have seen, there's someone that I work with, or I have worked with regularly, and he's really, really good at selling the client on the idea that he wants the client to fall in love with. I've seen him do it multiple times, because I've seen this exact scenario play out where we create cover art for a podcast and the client picks the ugliest one. And we're like, no way, they're not going with that. No. It was so he would get on the phone and he'd go over it and he'd put together an entire brand package around the one that we want him to have. And then he'd build a brand story behind it. So he'd make that design very intriguing and very, you know, like they really just have to have this design. And I've never seen him fail on selling a design. So maybe you and I got some work.
Does he teach a class? The one I always remember is when I worked at the ad agency, I had a client that was a STEM, almost like a STEM playground. Like, you could go to this place and they had like after school clubs and camps, and you can play with robots and coding and 3D printing and all this stuff. And they wanted to put an ad in a pamphlet for a Girl Scout event to kind of bring girls into the program, because it's STEM is a very male dominant field. Sure. even for kids. So they needed a headline, and they had suggested STEM for girls, which is kind of insulting, because why do we need our own special STEM? Is the boy STEM too like hard for us? So it was a horrible idea. So then I was like, what about bite like a girl, like BYTE, punny, I love a pun. And they're like, no, we're gonna go with STEM for girls. And I was like, okay, let me come up with some more ideas. And I came up with like girl coders, like girl code, super cute, and give that to them. They're like, nope, we're still going to go with STEM for girls. And I've still, it's been 6 years.
Somebody's still a little salty.
You made me insult an entire like group of Girl Scouts and tell them that boy STEM is too hard for them. Here, take your little girl STEM. Like, oh, that was one of the times that we did fight back.
Perspective, not necessarily that boys STEM is too complex for girls, but girls and guys do tend to have various interests. You're covered in pink. I don't have a whole lot of pink here.
You have a pink hat. Don't lie.
I was going to say, other than the
pink. You have the same. I'm wearing a black and bright pink sweatshirt. You have the same one.
I do have the same one because I'm very secure in my masculinity. And
because
I
make you them and then I make you wear them.
What'd you say?
Because I make them and then I make you wear them.
There's that too. But anyway, so before we get too crazy here, let's wrap this exercise up with the last question.
Yes.
What is the legacy that you, Sarah, want to leave behind?
This is always a tough question because legacy can mean so many things. Legacy can mean a message. Legacy can mean money. Legacy can mean all of these different things. It can mean ideas. I think I've always just wanted to leave the world a little bit better than I found it. And I think if that's something that everyone tries to do, then we're at least off to the on the right track. So my legacy should just be something is better than it was before me.
Interesting. Okay. I dig it.
Yeah. And you want everyone to be wearing a red hat. That's, oh God, wait, no, we don't want that.
At my funeral, everybody in attendance better be rocking a red hat, flat billed hat, tilted 5 degrees to the right.
No words on it, guys. No words.
Yeah, no words, no branding. Can't have any branding. My legacy for real, man. I think it's just that you this is so cliche. But anybody can do anything they want to do, you know?
Anything you can do, I can do better.
How does it go? Anything you can do.
I can do better. I can do anything better than
you. Better than me. Better than you. Yeah. So, no, you can't. Yes, I can. No, you can.
Anything you can do, I can do while wearing high heels.
Oh, well, I've had on high heels before, so we can rock that tape. So anyways, we got way off base there. But really, it's just anybody can do anything they want to do. I mean, you know, I came out of high school and managed to claw my way into a corporate world and climb the ranks in the corporate world. Left the corporate world, started my own business, and did my own thing. And I mean, that's just a very revised version of what I did to get where I'm at today. And it's been an amazing journey. And I think that's what I want the legacy to be, is that it's the journey. And you can continue down that journey any direction that you really want to go. You just have to take those steps and do it. Put one foot in front of the other and continue to do it. That's the legacy that I want people to realize when they look back and go, man, this cat, he did a whole lot of stuff, man. So you can too, man. Do anything you want.
You can teach old dogs new tricks.
We're still working on some of those new tricks, but you definitely got the old dog in me. So, yeah, man, I think that's it. Those are the questions that I had lined out. It's only five little questions, but man, you can go so deep with those questions and it can really give you a nice foundation for you to build your brand and your brand values, your brand messaging, your brand, everything that you do to deliver that brand can really come right out of those five questions. So spend some time with them, go through that exercise and see what direction it leads you.
Yeah. And again, go jump back to that early episode, the 8 components to a brand, and you can really dig into what aspects of your brand you can use these questions to help you build. So when you do have all these questions answered and you've started to build out that brand, we would love to hear about it. So send us your answers, send us your brand story, whatever it is, on our social media. They're all Stick With Branded, or send us an email at hello@listentobranded.com.
There you go. So hopefully you got some value out of this episode. I think there's a tremendous amount of value in this exercise. And as Sarah said, we would love to hear the value that you got out of going over these five questions yourself. So do us a favor, if you would, please hit that subscribe button so we can continue to bring you this amazing content each and every week. And with that, I'm Larry Roberts.
And I'm Sarah Lucy. We'll talk to you next week.